The Starkist Tuna Fish Company has been running a TV commercial now for the last 20 years, featuring Charlie the Deep Sea Tuna. And Charlie is a delightful, neurotic tuna who's very unsure of his own identity. But he is aware that somewhere on the West Coast, there's a large company called Starkist that looks only for the very best tuna. And Charlie is worried because they have never caught him. And that creates a problem. He says, I am a very good fish. I am a tuna. So why is it that Starkist has not come looking for me? And so Charlie jumps to an interesting conclusion. He simply assumes that he's not cultured enough. And so he says to himself, I'll have to become a Renaissance fish. And I'll have to learn to do all kinds of different things well. And then I'll get the attention of Starkist. Then they'll come looking for me. And so Charlie learns how to play the violin, and he starts drinking Perrier water. He does all the things that a modern, sophisticated fish would do. And yet, despite all of his efforts, the Starkist fisherman's hook always eludes him with the same reminder. Sorry, Charlie. Starkist is not looking for fish with good taste. We are looking for fish that taste good. That Starkist slogan is, I think, a very good representation of what is happening today in our own modern society. The anxiety society, as it is called today. People everywhere want to be in good taste. They all want to project a good image of themselves. They want to improve their self-image. And like Charlie the Tuna, they all want to do the in things that will identify them with modern, sophisticated people. Now, just to give one mild example, look at the unprecedented success of the designer industry in the recent years. Today we have designer jeans and designer socks and designer underwear, designer coats and hats and scarves, ties, watches, towels, luggage. And that's only the very beginning. A whole generation of people thus far has been conditioned to really believe that there is something lacking in their life if they're not displaying a designer label on the backside of their blue jeans. Somehow, that label has become important, an important way of convincing themselves and other people, they think, that that person really does have it all together, that you're really with it, that you are indeed a person of good taste. The whole trouble is, it does not cure your anxiety. The designer label, and whatever it might be, is superficial and shallow. It is a way of papering over, covering over what it is that really makes you feel inside the way you do, which more than often is empty. Now, being in good taste, in the truest sense of the word, can indeed be a very big plus. It can make you more likable, more popular, and possibly even more employable. But you always need more than that. You need something to sustain your own belief in your worthwhileness as a human person, something to sustain a deep sense of purpose in your own life, something that is capable of transforming your life of anxiety into a life that tastes good here in your own heart, where you really know yourself. Now, life that tastes good for you comes out of a sense of dedication, a sense of living a life of purpose, of worthwhileness, based on a steady, solid, constant witness to what is true and what is real in life. What people in our anxiety society today are looking for, really, is something to feed their soul. Today, people are really looking for nourishment. They're looking for nourishment for the inner resources that they need, they must have, to go on through the trials and tribulations of life. They're looking for something real and something true, something worth holding onto. You remember at the very height of the popularity of Jesus, when he discovered that his ministry was causing so much popularity among the ordinary people, he recognized that he was being welcomed in town after town. And it was at that very point that he decided to ask his own disciples a question, an all-important question. What, who do people say that I am? And they gave the answer that was ringing all around the countryside. They said, people are saying that you are a great prophet. You are really a winner. You really have a hold on something. We think you are the reincarnation of some of the great prophets of old. You have potential. You have possibilities. The people, of course, simply wanted to anchor Jesus down. They wanted him to assume a role that would make him a leader of Israel, someone who would be powerful enough to give stability and permanence to that country. It was then they felt that Jesus should begin to organize his cabinet, mobilize the people, and make the big push, the big effort. The people wanted to hear him say, all right then, let's get going. Let's do whatever it's going to take to restore the kingdom. But what was it that Jesus did? He merely asked the right question. Who do you say that I am? He meant you've been with me. You've seen the response of the people. You've seen the public reaction. But I'm only interested in one thing. Who do you think that I am? And then it was Peter who answered for the people. And he said, you are the anointed one, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, yes. Blessed are you, for you have recognized. You have recognized something that only the living God himself is able to reveal. Now that gift that Peter had discovered is given to us. Each of us possesses the precious gift of faith, whereby we too recognize Jesus, the Anointed One, as the Son of the living God. But remember what that answer meant. The people then began to turn away their support from Jesus. They misunderstood his purpose. If there had been a public relations consultant for Jesus at that time, he would have said to Jesus, you're crazy. You're insane. You are destroying the very thing that you have built up. And yet Jesus resolutely stuck to his purpose. And it was out of that dedication for why he came that he gave his life to the world. And through that, we receive the gift of faith and the nourishment that keeps it strong. And today in Epiphany we ask, who do we say that Jesus is? Like so many of his followers down through history, do we also continue to misunderstand his mission? Or are we the kind of people today who are under a tradition of the wise men who had that gift of faith, who bowed down before that child and said, let us adore him. And they worshiped. It was the gift of faith whereby God drew them, and God draws us. It is not something that we do of our own accord. When we are called to pray or to worship, it is the Lord who is drawing us. That is the mystery of faith. We do nothing in the life of the Spirit on our own. It is the Lord who draws us to the one thing in our life that is needful, to the one element that gives us nourishment for our life of faith. It is He who is calling us to the purpose, to the permanence, and to the stability that we need. It is not the fluff of the modern world that will give it to us. It is not the fluff of the anxiety society. And whether we realize it or not, when it comes down in our heart to asking who we are and why we are and where our destiny someday lies, that fluff offered to us by society, even though it is well packaged at times, it is not the one thing needful to make our life taste good. The one thing needful for us is to live in union with that gracious God whose life is within us and who wants us as his own. Jesus then said to Peter, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. If you love me, you will feed my sheep. And then you will love one another as I have loved you. And that is what the living God, the Son, says to us this morning. So that we are drawn like the wise people to what is real and to what is true here in the Eucharist. We have come to worship, not on our own accord, but because the Lord has drawn us through this precious gift of faith to bring us together in the midst of the risen Christ, to worship on a constant, steady basis, to seek the kind of nourishment that we need in our hours of trial and tribulation. This morning we are the wise people who have come at the command and the invitation of Jesus to feed the lambs and feed the sheep with the living Word of God and with a good, strong, sweet taste of the bread of life.
Let us pray. Blessed by the light of God's word, let us offer our